Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to another new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's episode is going to be short and sweet because, well, we have a couple of games to get to over the next 36 hours or so, but for now, there's one trade rumor that I think we should touch on. First reported by Mark Stein of ESPN this morning. His tweet, "Trade rumble, Houston has made no secret of its desire to add a big man, and the Kings' Kosta Koufos, I'm told, has emerged as a prime target." His colleague Zach Lowe of ESPN also chimed in by saying that he had heard from a few teams that Houston was dangling Corey Brewer, which had yet to get them much traction. Before we get into the fit of Koufos with the Rockets, let's just look at his overall game. He's definitely a defense-first player. He's a 7-foot center, 265 pounds, and he kind of seems perpetually in that range in which he's, you know, probably too good to be a backup, but not good enough to be a full-time starter. His main value is defense and rebounding. He consistently averages around 6 points and six rebounds in upper teens, close to 20 minutes per game. Offensively, his game is fairly limited. He occasionally makes a decent pass now and again, but by and large, he's just a guy who finishes near the basket, does have decent touch. His free throw percentage has dipped this year to 44%, but for his career, he's a 60% guy, so hopefully he's not a free throw liability, and it's just a one-off small sample size. He's not even averaging one free throw attempt per game. But his main value is as a good rebounder, decent shot blocker, just a presence around the paint, but he doesn't provide enough offensively with his range. He's not really elite at any one thing, so while he could start in a pinch, he's probably just a very good backup rather than a true starter at the NBA level. And at 27 years old, at this point, he is what he is. I don't think you're going to see him develop into much more than that, but the good news is that he should at least be 3 or 4 years away from any sort of substantial decline. So you are going to get him, if the Rockets were to acquire him, in the prime of his career. And he would be a decent contrast for them with guys like Nene and Montrezl Harrell, their current backup centers. Well, one of them is starting at the moment due to the temporary Clint Capela injury, but long-term, Nene and Harrell, those are your backup centers, and they're more offensive-minded. So Koufos, if that deal were to be struck, would give you a more defensive-minded option in the Houston front court. Now, turning to his contract, he signed a 4-year, $33 million deal in July of 2015. The final year is a player option, so from a salary cap standpoint, he's essentially going to be making about $8.3 million each of the next 2 years, and then there's a player option on the final year of the deal, which is 2018 to 2019, that season. So really, it's a good value if you can get him. I think the Rockets would see his deal is having positive trade value, and that's what I've said is something that matters to Daryl Morey. It's not like they're just trying to prioritize flexibility above everything else. If they can get a deal that they think is friendly, they'll take the risk that they can eventually move it down the line. And with Koufos being probably an above-average backup center in the NBA, then certainly for $8 million a year, I think you would have takers for that contract. And his player option for the last year, I think there's a good shot that he would use that player option because with the salary cap rising like crazy, almost everybody, regardless of skill, is using player options to get paid on this new salary cap, whereas Koufos, of course, signed in July 2015, so his deal is based on, well, the prior salary cap. So I think there's a good shot that it's basically a 2-year deal for Koufos at about, we'll say $8.5 million a year. So 2 years, $17 million, I think is a fair way to look at this contract. Now, of course, the Kings have paid for some of his salary already this year, but just from a strict cap standpoint, that's what you're looking at. The key element to the Rockets, you would be adding $8.5 million in guaranteed salary for the 2017-2018 season that would go into your projections and your theoretical room in July 2017 when we know the Rockets would undoubtedly love to make a splash in free agency. However, as I was just saying, if you feel that you can trade him, if you think that he's a positive value on that contract, then I think it's very possible to see Daryl Morey take the gamble on such a move. Now, how could the Rockets add him? Because, of course, the Rockets aren't above the cap team. Well, the easiest way is Corey Brewer. As Zach Lowe said, you could use Brewer, and, you know, I don't think the Rockets would be willing to trade a first-round pick for Kufis. I could be wrong. I think they'd probably trade a future second, maybe the draft rights to an international prospect, that sort of thing. But it's the easiest fit, because with Kufis just a little bit above $8 million, Brewer at about that same amount, it makes a lot of sense to do that, and it's 1 year shorter from the Kings' standpoint. So if the Kings are trying to clear salary, then certainly getting Brewer's contract for Kufis could be a step in the right direction. Now, of course, the Kings aren't just going to look at this in a vacuum. They're going to compare it to other offers around the league, but when you're looking for incentive why they would consider it, well, it'd be the, you know, any draft picks, international rights, and then you add in one less year of guaranteed salary, maybe that's enough for them. That's not the only way that the Rockets could strike a deal from a cap standpoint. Playing around in the ESPN trade machine, I do think you could move KJ McDaniels, Tyler Ennis, and one more contract, maybe a Kyle Wilcher, someone low, and I do think that would hit the threshold. So I don't know that you would have to include Corey Brewer. That's just the easiest way to make it work. If you included other guys, you'd certainly be doing at least a 3-for-1 deal, and so you'd have a lot of roster spots potentially to fill, but I don't think Daryl Morey would let that keep him away from a guy he really wants. If Tyler Ennis is the difference, then yes, he would give it up. So it's going to come down to what the Kings want. Do they want to gamble on the upside of someone like KJ McDaniels? Would they rather the stability, the veteran presence of someone like Corey Brewer? Because certainly I think that'd be a welcome addition to the Sacramento clubhouse. Or are they going to get a better offer somewhere else around the league? But those are kind of the two scenarios that I think you would see for the Rockets. I don't think they deal any of their existing big men. I think Montrezl Harrell has shown enough that even if this deal were to limit his minutes, he's shown enough upside, and D'Antoni seems intrigued enough with him that I'd be very surprised if he were in this package. I think you're looking at either Corey Brewer being the primary rotation player going out, and then KJ McDaniels would potentially replace him in the Houston rotation, or you would have a KJ McDaniels-led package, and of course the Rockets in that scenario keep Brewer. So we'll see, and I don't think this is the only thing that's on Daryl Morey's radar by any means, because a lot of the times these rumors get leaked because one team, one agent is trying to stir action. So we don't know if it's from the Rockets side, the Kings side, if it's from the front office or from an agent. A lot of times these rumors get leaked just so that, you know, it puts that team, that player's name out there, and it just wants to, the person involved wants to basically push the market forward. So I would not take this rumor all that seriously at this point until we start to have some corroborating evidence from local sources. Stay tuned to Jonathan Fagan of The Chronicle, Calvin Watkins of ESPN. We'll see if anybody hears anything from the Houston side of the fence. But nationally, for a really credible reporter like Mark Stein to report it, I do think there's a little bit of substance there, and it does fit for the Rockets. Now, a lot of people have been wondering, at least according to my Twitter feed, well, unless Clint Capella is going to be out longer than we think, which should be about 2.5 to 3 more weeks, why would the Rockets do this? Because when Capella comes back, you have Nene and Harrell to potentially be your second and third centers off the bench, and Mike D'Antoni has already said that it's tough to play three centers, and this was before the Clint Capella injury. So you're talking about potentially adding a fourth if this deal were to go through. And my response to that would be, there's a reason why the Rockets went so hard after Donatas Moniunas, even before the Clint Capella injury. Forget the contract, the really team-friendly deal, you know, after the Brooklyn deal was matched, and then we had that fallout, that weird thing with the bonuses. Forget that. Go back to that initial deal with Brooklyn. They basically, unless the Rockets were to cut Demo by March 1st, which was incredibly unlikely at a $9 million per year salary, essentially Demo was going to be guaranteed $17 or $18 million over 2 years. And the Rockets matched that. And that was with a healthy Clint Capella at the time. So it was pretty clear when you see that the Rockets were willing to splurge on another big man, particularly a defense-first big man, which Monty Unis is and Kosta Koufos is as well, to kind of bring more versatility, more options to their front court. So no, I don't think this is really tied to the injury of Clint Capela. This was a need that the Rockets saw from the outset. This is why they went after Donatas Moniunis. And unfortunately, something happened over the course of negotiations, physical, whatever, with Demo that basically broke down those negotiations, and now he's gone. But the need the Rockets saw, which was for one more big man, particularly a defense-first type signing, it's still there. And as I said on Twitter, after this morning's rumor, the Koufos contract fits almost perfectly in that same slot. Monty Unis' salary would have been between $8 and $9 million a year. That's exactly what Koufos' would be if the Rockets were to do this trade. So I think it's pretty clear that the Rockets are willing to invest that much money in a defensive-oriented big man, regardless of the status of Clint Capela and his injuries. They want more defense in the mix because Nene, at his age, and Montrezl Harrell, these are more offensive-oriented players, and if the Rockets have a weakness, you wonder what happens if they were to play a team like Utah or Memphis that has a ton of traditional big men, just grinders, pounders, those types. Would Nene and Montrezl Harrell hold up? So this gives you more versatility. They were seeking it with Demo, and this might provide you another way for basically the same exact contract in terms of value, of course. Now, with Demo, you would have had a team option rather than a player option in many cases. However, there's also substantially less injury risk with Koufos. So I think the Rockets might be more willing to take the player option, a little less flexibility in the traditional sense, because with Koufos not really having a known injury history, he should be much more tradable as a commodity next summer should the Rockets need that cap room. So I think in the end, it's a wash. Again, you're talking about one more big man at $8 to $9 million a year. They're willing to spend it on Monty Unis even before the Capela injury. And so I think that's why you see it now with Kosta Koufos, because even if the Rockets get Capela back, you do have this need. There's a reason why before the injury, I know you guys are sick of me saying it, but it's true, Clint Capela was playing only 20, 21 minutes a game in December. And a lot of traditional bigs, even Clint, Brook Lopez outclassed him. There were moments where essentially the Rockets were struggling to figure out how they would match up with any of those three guys. So Koufos gives you a little bit different dimension than anyone on your roster. And for the Rockets right now, that's a need because I don't know what the right word is. I would say the perspective has changed. How's that? Because before the year, when you're looking at potentially being a 45-50 win team, making the playoffs, a small need like one more big man that's defense first might not be that big of a deal. You just roll with what you've got. You should have enough to make the playoffs, and then you try and fix that in July 2017 free agency. Well, we are at a point now with the Rockets 24-9, number three in the West, and make it even better with four home games, on the immediate horizon over the next week. The Rockets are a quasi-contender. This is one of the top five teams in the NBA, and if you're a top five team in the NBA and on pace to win 60 games, it doesn't take much. All it takes is one injury. Maybe Steph Curry or Kevin Durant turns a foot the wrong way in the playoffs. Who knows what happens? But when you're a 61 team and in the top five in the league, you are not far away, and you have to take now seriously. It's not just about the future. Seasons like this, they don't come around that often. You're not guaranteed that, not even with James Harden, because look what happened a year ago. So I think the Rockets are at a point now, and they realize it, where they've got something special going, and if they've got a weakness, and as far as this team goes, I would say this is probably the biggest one. Interior rim protection. How do they match up with more physical, bruising teams on the interior? Well, you've got to give yourself a chance. This isn't the kind of move that's going to make the Rockets an immediate championship contender, put them on the level of the Warriors or Cavaliers, but it does shore up a weakness, and it gives the Rockets the best chance they can to make a run with this group. And at this point, now that we're well over a third of the way, actually approaching the halfway point of the season, and the Rockets still on basically a 60-win pace, top three of the West, top five in the league, you have to give this year's group a chance. You're not going to sell flexibility down the river to get it, But with Kufis at basically $8 million a year, not really a known injury risk, I think that this is the kind of deal where it could help them now, but it would not really hurt their long-term flexibility in any sort of meaningful way because he would be a tradable asset moving forward. Now, the trick with this, of course, if he's a tradable asset moving forward, would the Kings actually complete a deal for Corey Brewer or for the KJ McDaniels Plus package? I don't know. There's a lot of factors at play. We'll see what happens in the coming days. But I do think when you're talking about a locker room like the Kings that has so many issues, there's a chance for them to try things that a traditional GM might not. So maybe the Rockets can take advantage. Maybe the combination of a future second-round pick, international rights to someone, maybe that can be attractive. We'll see if it's enough to actually get a deal done. But in terms of asking why would the Rockets make this move, I think it's pretty clear. They do want one more big man, specifically a defensive-oriented one. Kufis fits the bill. And if the Rockets can get this deal done, it would make them a better team. And not only would it make them a better team long-term, it would also help them really have a nice Band-Aid for January. Because we heard Mike D'Antoni say the other day, the Rockets have 17 games in January, a lot of back-to-backs. Also got these back-to-backs the next two nights, although I don't think this deal would get done quite that quickly. But potentially, it could buy you a little bit more time with Clint Capela and get you through this rough patch without it having some sort of a major negative impact on the Rockets' position in the Western Conference standings. So this deal works on a lot of fronts. I see exactly why the Rockets would be intrigued, and I would say really the ball's in the Kings' court as to whether they're going to be attracted or not by the potential packages that the Rockets would have to offer. Anyway, I think that's about enough for this Kosta Kufis special episode of Locked On Rockets. Appreciate all of you guys for tuning in. We'll get back to the actual basketball on the floor over the course of this weekend. Rockets have the Clippers Friday night. Fortunately, the Clippers are not going to have Chris Paul, so I think all of a sudden Rockets are going to be in a great position to extend that lead for the three seed to as large as, four games or three and a half, I believe, because without Chris Paul, without Blake Griffin, certainly the Rockets should be a heavy favorite. So there's a big opportunity there. And then the Knicks on Saturday night at home, the Knicks have played well. They're above 500 now, but that's another team that the Rockets should be better than. So they're 24-9 already, 13-2 in December, and there's a good shot to push those impressive percentages up even more in the next couple of days. So as you guys watch those games, please stay tuned to me on Twitter. You can follow me at Ben Dubose. You can follow the show at Locked On Rockets. You can also email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com or subscribe to us at any of our feeds, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play. Just search for Locked On Rockets and you can find us. For now, I will sign off and I will talk to you guys at Toyota Center the next 2 days. Happy New Year!